Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 453. If you'd like a copy of it, at the end of the program, Sharon will send you either a disc, a CD, or an audio tape copy, absolutely free of charge, including the mailing charges. We have excellent testimonies today, some great Bible reading, some great music, and some expounding on the Word of God. Right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this program. Lord, bless and anoint this program. Open the hearts of those that are unsaved and open the hearts of those that are bitter from whatever it is that they've had to go through. Lord, you put us through the fire so that we'll be as gold, in order that we are able to stand in this world when the tribulations come down. Lord, the false prophets say that we're not going to be here during the tribulations. I would like to remind everyone, because of your word, that the tribulations came down on this world while Noah was here. And his seven members of his family. And you made a way for them. And then in the book of Exodus, you showed that you poured out your wrath upon Egypt. But you didn't rapture your chosen people out of the land of Egypt when you were destroying it. You just set them in a little place on the sidelines so that they could watch the show. And that's what you're going to do here. There's so many people that think that we're going to be raptured out of the tribulations, but your word plainly tells us that we're not going to be raptured or taken up into the heavens to meet you coming to earth. The Lord says that He's coming immediately after the tribulations. At that time, we're going to go to meet the Lord in the air, and the wicked are going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb of God, which is Jesus. And those that have rejected your word, and those that have fallen away, rejected your word that way, and become members of the Antichrist, it's the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness in this world. For the world to come, for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to believe the Antichrist and to absolutely disbelieve the Word of God. Lord, open their hearts, open their spirits. We've been preaching and teaching on how to change, have our dead spirits changed to a live spirit. One, a new spirit, one that's alive, because of our faith in the resurrection, the death and resurrection of you, Jesus. And also, we are teaching that you, after we received the new spirit that you promised us in the Old and New Testament, that you dwell in us as well. In the new spirit. You won't dwell in the old spirit or in anyone's soul or in their body, but you dwell in the spirit. Those that worship you, Father, must worship you in their spirit because you're a spirit, and they must communicate with you in their spirit, not their soul or body, but spirit and in truth. Lord, I ask that you open, you show them this enough to where in this message they will open their hearts, their spirit unto you, and pray, Lord, give me a new spirit, and Lord, dwell in the new spirit that you've given unto me. For I believe, Lord, that you're coming back to earth again. I believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and I know I don't want to go to hell in the lake of fire. I want to go to heaven. Lord, we ask that you make them totally conscious of these things in this program, that you bless it so much that they'll receive you as you are and not as someone has told them you are that are lying to them. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. One of the world's greatest arrangers has been down to visit us this week in our church. His name is H.B. Barnum. He's done, he currently does arrangements for Mariah Carey and for Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, and a host of others. Tony Bennett, he's done arrangements for Frank Sinatra, you name them, the Coasters. And he was here helping us for the last 4 days with our choir and singers and our orchestra here in Arkansas. And here's one of his arrangements on Jesus Loves Me. It's the most unusual arrangement that I've ever heard of this song. And he uses his live choir to sing it. He arranges it, he conducts it, and he tells them and whether they listen to him, because he's really, I think, without a doubt, and the other artist that he arranges for thinks he's the best. And so here's H.B. Barnum's live choir and him conducting Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, my Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And I
Praise the Lord. Well, I've been working off and on with HB for over 50 years in the music business, and I found him to be just right up there with the best of them, or maybe even a notch higher. He's had so many hit records, it's unbelievable. And I really appreciate him coming down and working with us over here, and it's just an amazing thing that happens to the choir and the musicians and everything when he puts the arrangement to them. They just sound fantastic, and I'm going to be playing some of their newly trained arrangements, their music on the air, probably tomorrow night. You'll hear our little kiddies and some of the other adults singing with him. It's just amazing. We went to the church and saw him and heard him. Was magnificent. Okay, we have some testimonies, right? That was the first one from?
From Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania.
Hey, what do they have to say?
Hello, Pastor Tony. Praise the good Lord for such a great message. I was so very touched. I came across your newsletter where my eldest daughter works. I'm so very glad that the good Lord put your newsletter there for me to read. I read where you have t-shirts. It would be great to wear them. Also, my husband works part-time at a gas station that we would like to take great pleasure in handing out your newsletters.
Okay, see, yes, those t-shirts and sweatshirts are for our distributors, and so we'd be very glad you're going to distribute them in the gas stations so that souls can be won. Very unexpected way to approach the people. They're coming to gas up, and here they get the message from the Lord. All right, then what?
We would take great pleasure in handing out your newsletters so that we could help spread the word of the good Lord. Waiting for your next letter, signed Holly from Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania.
Praise the Lord. The Lord will really bless you because your heart is toward the commandments of the Lord to win souls. Then where's the next one from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, best greetings in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you very much for the literature you sent to me for evangelism and distribution. You have been very helpful to my ministry, and many people have found salvation after reading God's Word through your literature. According to the Bible, quote, thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just, unquote, Luke chapter 14, verse 14. The Bible also says, quote, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, unquote, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Due to the high demand for your Christian literature in urban and rural areas, please send us the following items: more Holy Bibles and Messiah books, assorted literature and world newsletters for distribution and evangelism, and some of your t-shirts for the distributors. I prayerfully hope that I shall hear from you soon. Warm greetings to the congregation, your co-worker in Christ, Pastor I. Polini from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's just really something how, of course, I've mentioned to you, and it's very provable. We have whole magazines on how that the Muslims are a division of the Roman Catholic cult. And the reason they came up with this new religion was so that they would not be detected in these last days as doing a lot of this bombing and terrorism that they're doing. It's all coming from the Vatican. And just to flaunt themselves, the Vatican's filth in our face, they're making it a law now for these Muslims. We have to put foot baths in all the restrooms for them to go in and wash their feet. And yet they take our crosses, the Christian people's crosses, away. This nation was built on Christianity, not on Catholicism or Muslimism or any other ism like Buddhism or anything like that. We don't hate the people. We preach the gospel to them, just like we do not hate homosexuals, but we hate the actual filthy deeds that they do. And this is why we preach the gospel to them, to let them know that they must repent of their homosexuality and their Catholicism and their Mohammedism, their Buddhism, and all the other isms in the world. That's what we're about. We don't hate. This is called, the Bible calls it love. God calls it love. All right, and so we must be united to the Lord as one spirit. We must agree with the Word of God. And all those religions do not agree with the Word of God. We must, our spirit that's in us, must agree with the Spirit of the Lord. We must be united to the Lord as one spirit. So in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul informed us that, quote, whoever is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So our spirit must, and the Lord's spirit must be mingled together with his spirit. It must be mixed. We are united to the Lord when we become one with him. And when we are, we become one spirit with him. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. And we're going to read from the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians today, but I want to read first, because there's so much heresy going on in the churches today. I want them to, if you're going to be mingled with the Lord's Spirit, your spirit, well, then you have to receive what the Word, which is Spirit and Life, says. Now, the Word of God is Spirit, is God's Spirit and His life. So we're going to start out right now, Sharon, reading from the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and then we'll try as much as we can to get into the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Go ahead and start reading, Sharon, and give me a little, take a breath now and then so I can expound, okay?
Okay. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
Oh, yeah, there's so much fornication in churches today, and the churches say, oh, we have to forgive them. No, we don't, because first of all, folks, the Bible says that only God can forgive sin. And when God forgives all of our former sins, we're to go and sin no more. And so in the 1 Corinthians church, a lot of them were backslidden, and they were backslidden to the point as the churches today, where they allow fornication and adultery, and they say, you got to forgive them. I've seen them on some of these shows, and that's all they are, is Satan's shows, telling how that there's this one prostitute-looking woman who's married to this man. She's admitting to this blonde-haired girl, Paula White. She's just, oh, it's so sloppy sentimentality that, oh, we're so happy that your husband has forgiven you. And so, well, he'll just maybe forgive me again. I'll be able to go out and go to bed with somebody else tomorrow night. But read this again in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you.
In other words, it's a common thing in 1 Corinthians, to these Corinthians. Then what?
And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Yeah, it gets into incest. Incest. Okay, go ahead.
That one should have his father's wife.
No, it says, it doesn't say his mother. It says your father's wife, which means the father has more than one wife. Okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a polygamous marriage. There's so much polygamy in the Bible that it's anyway, even the Muslims know that it's approved by God. Nobody's going to go to hell for it. But I don't suggest polygamy at all for anybody, because only if God would come down and tell you to do that, just as he told Isaiah to run around the way he did, and also for Hosea to marry two women. And it's actual levirate law regarding polygamy. If a man is married and has a household, he has one or two wives. Now, there's one place in the New Testament where it says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, let him have one wife. Well, right, but not everybody desires the office of a bishop. And it also, they also say, well, God made one man and one woman and put them together. He also made them naked, amen? Amen. Does that mean that everybody has to run around naked still? No. No. Does that mean that they have to remain with one wife still? No. Because God told David, I gave you the daughters of Saul and the wives, plural, of Saul. And the daughters of Judah, and also Israel. And he said, if that weren't enough, all you would have had to done was to ask me, and I would have given you as many as you would have wanted. Amen. Why did you steal this one man, this man's wife? He only had one wife. I believe in monogamous lifestyle, you know, for the people that are not told by the Lord to have many wives. I mean, I believe in that very much. And even David, when he had many wives, one of them despised him. And so what did he do? He put her in ward. He didn't kick her out on the street, but he supported her. And that's what the Vatican and the Antichrist is against, is you being married. They don't want women to be married and take care of the house and raise children according to the Word of God. What they want them to do is become prostitutes. And they want them to run the streets. They want them to work out in the workforce and not take care of children. That's why there's so many children that have gone astray in the world today, because there's nobody around to take care of them. And the churches, now the Vatican believes in adultery. It's okay to go out and fornicate as much as you want. It's okay to commit adultery in your wife, but no divorce. Well, the Lord is dead against divorce, unless you commit adultery. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your wife commits adultery, you're not supposed to forgive that. You're supposed to put her away. You're not even supposed to keep her in the house if she commits adultery. Kick her out. You say, well, that's not merciful. Well, let's see in the New Testament just how merciful the Apostle Paul is. Okay, continue reading here.
And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
Yeah, in other words, somebody that's committing adultery or fornication in the church even, it's supposed to be mourning, and you're not supposed to let him stay there. And anyone that would see the pastor keeping a wretch like this in the church, you should be mourning about that and praying to God. Now, fasting and praying that God would enlighten this man, and if he doesn't enlighten, I would get out of that church quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because a little leaven, a little sin in the church will make the whole church sinful. And the Lord in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation states that we are to judge. We're to measure, in other words, by the word of God, everybody that's in the church. And those that don't line up with the word of God, we can't judge, but we can use the Bible to judge all things. Amen?
Amen.
So we're to judge and put them outside of the church. Get them out of there, because they're going to make everybody think that they can commit adultery and fornication and incest as well. Okay, let's continue on. So that these pastors today, if you want to call them pastors, are heretics because they're preaching a gospel that is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead.
For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present.
See, he's judging, but he's judging by the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? It says, judge no man. That means by your own judgment, but we are able to judge all things by the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says, set him who is the least believer in your church, and let him judge, because we don't have to be bright to judge with the word of God. All we got to do is just read from the word. And the word is not double-minded. God's word doesn't ever go back on his word. He never crosses himself up. Okay, go ahead.
For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
In other words, kick him out of the church. Then what?
That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, there's the possibility if you kick him out that they'll come to their senses and realize that they're not to live the good life. You know, when you're living in a church like ours, you don't have to worry about paying bills. You don't have to worry about the electric bill or the rent bill or the gas bill or the phone bill or any of these things, because we live in the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has arrived in our church, and anyone that's not of the kingdom of heaven, the Lord says, put him out into the world again so that he can see what it's like to live under Satan's power and dominion. And you can't stay in here anymore where you're going to just live where you don't have to worry about bill paying, you don't have to worry about cooking food, you don't have to worry about washing dishes. If you're sick, the people will take your job and take care of you. If your children need help, if you need help with your children, they're going to take care of the children with you. If you don't know how to cook, well, there's people that cook for you. There's people that shop for you. They go downtown. They shop for everybody in the church. And they pick up things that you need, the necessities of life, and the food and everything, and they prepare it. It's just a wonderful life, the kingdom life is.
Amen.
Because it's the commonwealth. If you need not something, like even some people in the church needed operations, some of those operations cost $40,000, $50,000. Or somebody needs an attorney, the church comes up with the money for the attorney. That doesn't happen out in the world, kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It happens in the commonwealth of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if the Lord sees you keeping homosexuals in your church and they won't repent, you have to kick them out. Or if the Lord sees you leaving adulterers and fornicators in your church and drunkards and all this, he says, kick them out. So, because if you kick them out, they go back into, they leave the commonwealth. And they're on their own then. And they are not able to take care of themselves as they were taken care of in the kingdom. Our kingdom life in the church, where everything is common. We're all commonly wealthy. Amen?
Amen?
It's a common thing to be wealthy in the church. Amen?
Amen.
But you're all broke out there in the world unless you're a fat cat and you got deep pockets or something and you're trying to make people think, you know, show how much you've got out there. Well, you don't have salvation, though.
Amen.
That's the big problem, okay? And if the spirit goes out of your body, you're going to face the Lord and that's it for you. All right? Now then, go ahead and continue on.
Your glorying is not good.
No, nope. Your glory that you're far more lenient than God is. And God doesn't want you to be lenient. He's a good God, but he's also severe. He's a good God, but he also is a God of judgment. Okay, and severe judgment. if you have any sin on your soul, you're going to hell in the lake of fire, no matter what you think in your head. Okay, keep reading.
Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
That means, don't you know that a little sin in your church, if you don't kick it out and frighten everybody to know the severity of God is in this pastor that runs this church, you've got to get out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out. Now, there's a man in Los Angeles that our policy is, you know, people come in, they're sinners, and they've got, sometimes they'll have different drugs on them. And so they get saved, and we say, okay, you want to stay in our church, you have to, we're going to flush all your stuff down the toilet. Your marijuana seeds and so on and so forth. Well, there's one man in our church that's been there for a long time, and he says, no, we're not going to flush him down the toilet. We're going to put him on the guest ride and then sprinkle him on the highway going down there. I had to put him out of the church because that man is too dangerous. He says, well, I was afraid that these marijuana seeds would go into the septic tank and the government would find them. I said, you actually think that the government workers are going to start fishing these marijuana seeds out of all that dung and urine in that septic tank, you idiot? You have to leave because you didn't call me. Now, the testimony that Sue and I have is that we, the Lord told us to preach the gospel to this dope den, but they wanted us to come and preach to him. And so we told him that, Susie told him actually, that we would come and preach to him if they would flush all their drugs down the toilet. Now, we're not police officers. I know that the Vatican government has made all you people out in the world police officers. All you just love to report all kinds of stuff, even if you're suspicious. If you're suspicious of anyone, just pick up the phone and call this number. Call the devil is what it is, okay? No, I don't do that. I'm not a police officer. What I do is preach the gospel to them, and if they don't get saved, I just tell them that they can't stay. Okay, and when they stay, we search all their belongings to make sure there's no drugs, no weapons, no pornography, or no false doctrine, or any of these things, or I won't let them in the church. That's the kind of church the Lord really wants, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No booze, nothing like that. And so, and if they don't want to do that, well, I just say, well, we're just glad that we're going to take you down the hill, you know, drop you off on Hollywood Boulevard or wherever we pick you up, okay? Because they have to decide to want to go to church, and that's the way we do it. And now, but the Apostle Paul is telling us to do the same thing, isn't he?
Amen.
And so is John the Revelator. He's saying that the Lord told him to take this measuring stick, which is the Word of God, to measure people up. You say, are you a fornicator? This guy commits fornication. You have to put him out. This one is drawing drugs. Put him out. This one is a adulterer. Put him out. A homosexual, get them out. Because a little bit of leaven, a little bit of sin, will cause sin to spread throughout the whole church. Everybody will think that they can, well, you let this homosexual stay here, why can't I? Or you let this fornicator or adulterer or drug addict stay in here and still take these things, why can't I? Then you've got nothing but a worldly church again. Okay, so the Lord wants a holy church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, because the church is his body. And the Lord wants his body to be snow white. There can't be one blot or blemish on it. And so he's saying, if you're going to be my pastor, then you have to be strong. Okay? Mm-hmm. Can't be weak and just be a person that's going to be tolerant to sin. You know, you can't even bow down to the golden idol. Amen?
Amen.
You can't bow down to any of the world's ways because everybody says, oh, the churches must be tolerant. But the Bible says that we're not to tolerate sin because the Lord doesn't tolerate sin. Amen?
Amen.
And it says that we can't forgive sin because only God can forgive sin. All right? Now, once all your sins are washed away, you dastn't sin again because if you do, you're in a bunch of trouble because the there remains no more forgiveness unless you did it ignorantly. Okay?
Amen.
All right, everybody. Amen. Okay? Out there, let me hear an amen. All right? It should be so resounding that I could hear it out here in the Tulies where I am right now. Okay? Then what, Sharon?
Purge out, therefore, the old leaven.
Purge it out. Just wash it out of your church. Get it out of there. Then what?
That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened.
Yeah, the Lord gives you a new spirit. Your spirit is dead because of sin. And if you start sinning again, well, your spirit is dead, and the living are not to live among the dead. Amen?
Amen?
We're living, those of us that keep the commandments, and I'm not going to live among dead people. You either repent or get out. It's either the Lord's way or the highway. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we have to pay strict attention to this, that Paul did not say, he says that we become one soul with the Lord. He says we become one spirit. Jesus, who is risen, is the risen Lord, is the life-giving spirit. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:45. As a matter of fact, he's the life-giving spirit. And so the Lord won't allow you to have life if you dwell among the dead, if you just are so satanic that you don't even report satanic things that are going on in the church. There's a young man that was arguing with H.B. Barnum about the H.B. said, "You're hitting a wrong note." He says, "I'm just trying to help you." And he started arguing with him like H.B. doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's the number one arranger in my eyes, in my view, in the whole world. Okay.
Amen.
All right, so let's continue on here in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians.
For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Yeah, he was sacrificed to eliminate sin, not to allow it to dwell in the church. Because we become the bride of Christ, and Christ is not going to have a sinful bride, a prostitute. God wants a pure virgin, one that doesn't bow down to sin, bow down to the golden idol, tolerates any kind of sin. I mean, toleration is of the devil. He lets, whores run wild, and the girls run wild, and the boys run wild, and Now, I come from the wild country up in Montana. I see the antelopes run wild, and the deer, and the elk, and all this, but we're not to be running wild. We're not animals. Amen?
Amen.
And if you want to say that we are animals, well, we're an intelligent being, and we're the only ones, humans, that have souls. We never evolved from animals or bug life or a beast or fish or fowl. We're a special creation of the Lord in his image and likeness. He didn't make dogs or pigs in his image. He made us in his image. People have to start putting on your head the right way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's start using the mind of Christ. Then what?
Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice.
Yeah, we're supposed to be feasting on the Word of God, not feasting on sin. Amen?
Amen.
That old leaven, that old sin, it has to go away. The blood of Jesus takes it away, and then we are to, we must be born again, and we must be united in the resurrection of Christ. And if we're in the resurrection, then we're sitting with him in heavenly places, and we're far beyond any type of sinfulness. All right? Mm-hmm. And if people remain in sin after they've known the Lord, or they move into your church because they want to eat and sleep and go to the bathroom, that doesn't fly here, okay? There's missions here and there that will take you in, but not here. God is going to have one holy church on this earth, And I'm not saying, I'm saying that I'm the only one, and there are others that are one with us. I mean, they're all over the world that will not unite themselves with sin. Okay? Now, Paula White and all the others, you know, I know where you're coming from, kid. You better repent and cut out your nonsense. And there's that other woman, what's her name? Lambs?
Joni
Lamb. He's the same way. You know, I don't even know if they're on television anymore. I mean, it makes me so angry when I watch them. And if they repent, I pray that Joni Lamb repents. And her husband. And all these other false people. Repent. And just start preaching the way that I'm preaching from the Bible. All right?
Amen.
Then what?
Let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you...
Yeah, let's be sincere. Let's not fornicate. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not commit. So you know that the Lord smashed the whole world and he's going to burn this world up now. So we have to be sincere and in truth. Truth means the word of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is Jesus. And the Word of God is Spirit and it's life. Christ is the life-giving Spirit. If you want His life living in you, then you must not sin. Because sin, I don't care if you think you're a Christian or what, if you sin, there's a wall of separation that comes down between you and God, and you can't even talk to Him anymore. He won't listen. Okay? All the sin has to be washed away. Then what?
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Okay, see, don't fellowship with fornicators. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters.
You're not to company with them. You're not even to wish them Godspeed.
Mm-hmm.
And then these phony churches are saying, you must forgive them. Oh, come on. There's no forgiveness in your church, Tony. There's not enough love in your church, Tony. Let me tell you what love is. The Bible says that love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
That's what love is. Okay? So you're really, all you people have gone astray. What you've done is joined the Antichrist. The second chapter of 2 Thessalonians tells us that just before the Lord comes back to earth, don't worry about the Lord coming back to earth until you see a great falling away unto the Antichrist. Satan will enter into you and say that he's God, and you'll say that he's God too. You'll say that false doctrine is truth. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, is saying that it's sin. Okay? You can't tolerate it. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what, Sharon?
For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater...
You're not to be at all associated with them. Do you understand?
Amen.
And these false churches are saying, well, you got to be, you got to forgive them. What testimony is that of the Lord? The Lord is the strict God. He's a good God, but he's strict. Amen? Amen. And he's the judge. Then what?
Or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner.
Well, they all go out and get drunk, and they laugh about it in the church. They say, yo, I know you all mess around with each other's wives. Except this is the most sickening. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? Why do you call yourself a church? Only when I was out there living a righteous life, I didn't want to go to church. But they're so phony, they have business associates there, and they'd lose their association with the different business people in the world if they didn't go to their church. So they go there. It's a political situation. And, you know, we have to close our eyes to certain things and our ears. But you're offending the Lord, okay? And you're not doing things the way the Lord says. And you might pass away in the middle of the night. And then you got to stand judgment. You're going to, without whether you want to or not. Or however big you think you are. Some people, when they make $1 billion, they think they're big stuff. I've made over $1 billion in my life for different companies, for Warner Brothers and all kinds of other companies, big companies like Mattel. And it's just really sad. I've done billions of dollars with record companies and clothing and all sorts of things, promotional things. And when I saw that the Lord was real, I just backed off immediately, and I thought everything was trash except following the Lord. That's why I do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
With such an one, know not to eat.
You're not even supposed to have lunch, breakfast, lunch, or dinner with anybody like that. Okay, let alone keep them in your church. It's supposed to be church. You know, it's not a church, it's a den of demons. Then what?
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?
Yeah. We're not going to judge people outside. We just tell them you're a sinner, you need to repent. But if they're in the church, the Bible says that we have to judge them with the word of God. Amen? Then what?
But them that are without, God judgeth.
Yeah, those that are not in the church, those that are lost, God's going to judge you. And he might judge you tonight because you don't know when the breath is going to go out of your body. Yeah, either do I, that's right. But I'm already judged. I've judged myself with the word of God, so I don't have to worry about judgment. I've fallen into his slot, the slot that he wants everybody to be in, and so I'm not worried about death. You are, you politicians. You are supposed to be leaders that are blind leaders, leading everyone into the ditch, into the pit. That's your story, not mine. Okay, then what?
Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
So put those kind of wicked people out of the church, okay? Can't you get it?
Amen.
Now, how can you listen to these phonies, these novices that are telling, no, we have to forgive them and keep them in the church? Well, all that does is teach us everybody, well, God will just forgive us too if we do the same thing, and pretty soon you've got a stinking discotheque, amen?
Amen.
A singles bar. Or a wife-swapping situation going. That's for people out in the world, not you, if you're a church. But you're not churches. You're whorehouses. Booze hounds. Okay, then what else?
Chapter 6.
So let's hurry along here then.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?
Do any of you that really are born-again Christians... are you such a thrill seeker that you would go to law in the secular courts when you know very good and well there's no judgment there, okay? It's just like whatever whim hits this reprobate or homosexual judge that's judging you. And if you're a Christian, oh my God, watch out, you know.
Yeah.
But he says for us to judge everything in our church. All right, according to the word of God. Go ahead, read it.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
Yeah, we're going to judge the world, and we're even going to judge the angels, the Bible says, the word of God, which is Christ, says. Then what?
And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Yeah, the world, everybody in that world out there is going to be judged by us. We're going to be standing there with the Lord as a judgment bar of God and telling you what the Bible said and that you ignored it, and so therefore you have to go to hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Know ye not that we shall judge angels?
That what?
That we shall judge angels.
That we, Christians, those of us that have the Spirit of Christ in us, our spirit and the Lord's spirit has become one. Amen?
Amen.
And we're united with the Lord, and we're going to judge the angels. Okay? Well, what angels is he talking about? The third of the angels that followed Satan into this world. They got cast down into this world. All right? Mm-hmm. Then what?
How much more things that pertain to this life?
Yes, we are able to judge to the things that pertain to this life and the life to come. We're judging the angels so that we're qualified to do that because we're doing it with the word of God. And therefore, we can judge everyone in the world by the word of God. It's not our judgment. It's the word of God. It's God's judgment. Then what?
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church.
Yeah, in other words, you can take the least esteemed person in the church, and if they're judging things by the Bible, That's just like God judging. Amen? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be any bright boy or girl. You can just set that word in front of them and they say, here's, what should we do about this fornicator? The Bible says, cast him out. Amen?
Amen.
Well, can't, you know, your dopey little son could do that. Right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I speak to
not,
your...
Not doped up on dope. I'm just talking about a child, okay, that's not really educated yet. Hopefully we didn't offend you with the Word of God, okay? Then what? I mean, a retarded child, in other words, could look at the Word of God and read it right there. What do we do with this sinner? It says here, oh, cast them out. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. So you don't have to be a genius. You just have God is the genius. His Word is the genius. You just do what God says. Amen?
Amen.
Not Paula White or any of the rest of them. Then what?
I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Yeah, you're not supposed to, if you're a Christian, take anybody before the court. Look at what they're doing to people in the courtrooms. They're taking Christians, and look at what they do. The Catholics are taking all these hundreds of thousands of reprobate homosexuals and pedophiles, and they're hiding them in the Vatican just like they did Lincoln, one of Lincoln's assassins. They made him a guard at the Vatican. They smuggled him into the Canada and then shipped him off to Rome and made him a guard at the Vatican. Because, why? Because Abraham Lincoln was pulling the sheets and blankets off of the Vatican. And he didn't get it out to the public, though, in time. Okay, then what else?
Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why
right.
do
you... Take it to your own courts. We have a court in our church. When there's something like I put that person out for allowing somebody to take those seeds in our vehicle, if the police would have called them over, we'd have been headlines in the media. Oh, Tony Alam was running the biggest this and that kind of church... Oh, I won't let them do that to me, okay? Amen. I judge that, and the Lord doesn't want that even to be mentioned once in the world. Because I'm trying to win souls, and I am winning souls. And they've said every false thing about me, and if that's the way they want to be, well, still, I just wait for the Lord to show miracles coming from this church so that people can know that I'm of the Lord, okay? Because if they don't believe the Word, God will show you. He'll raise me up even higher than I already am. Then what?
Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived.
Yeah, fornicators, adulterers, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Dopers, drunkards, any no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You can be just as drunk on uppers, downers, inners, outers, sniffing glue, gas, whatever you're getting drunk on. Okay, then what?
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, because you quit doing those things. I see my time is up, and so therefore, right now, we're going to see, we're going to say the sinner's prayers, those of you that want to be saved. We're going to say the sinner prayer. And you want a new spirit, and you want the Lord to dwell in that spirit. Your spirit is dead. You need to have a live spirit. Your spirit needs to be made alive. So ask the Lord to come into you and give you a new life, the life that is everlasting. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my soul, my spirit, and I invite you into my spirit, into my heart. Give me a new spirit, Lord, and dwell within my spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, wash all away my former sins. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Jesus, and I praise you, Father, and I thank you, Jesus, and I praise you, Jesus. Just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of this program, number 453.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful message. This is a constant guide to you, to guide you into the kingdom of heaven. All right? This is because this is the love of God to train you, to strengthen you, to be able to continue on a daily basis. Right now, here's the H.B. Barnum's Life Choir to sing the Life Prayer Song.